accounts that we will be cross-referencing with. So Mark chapter 14, you might put just a marker there, and then also John chapter 18.
We come to this passage today about the denials of Peter. It's a familiar story to all of us, and as we come to this particular story, I want us to look at this from a personal perspective and to take it as a warning. To take it as a warning in the sense that if something like this could happen to Peter, if Peter could fail in such a way as this, given his dedication, given his commitment to Jesus Christ, then what does it say about us and the potential failures that we could experience in our own lives spiritually? As we're looking at Peter's failure on this particular occasion in his life, I want you to consider that this was not so much a blowout in his life as it was a slow leak. And typically that's the way spiritual failure happens in a person's life. It kind of sneaks up on you over time. It's kind of incremental in its approach. It's kind of a slow leak that then ultimately leads to a spiritual blowout, to failure. And we want to trace that blowout, that slow leak in the Apostle Peter's life, and then to make application to ourselves. So we can take this as a very, very strong warning to us that it was Jesus, it was Peter who denied his Lord three times. You know, if it had been Nicodemus, we might have, okay, Nicodemus. Nicodemus is the man who came to Jesus by night. And some conjecture that he came by night because he wanted to talk to Jesus, but he didn't want to be seen talking to Jesus. That's conjecture, but it's a possibility. Being a member of the Sanhedrin, he was risking his reputation. We might expect the same kind of a scenario from the rich young ruler. You know, the rich young ruler came to Jesus, and ultimately he was not able to leave his wealth. Instead, he left Jesus. So there's other people in the gospel narratives and accounts that we would look at and we say, yeah, that would not come as a surprise to us. But when we come to Peter, yeah, it comes as a surprise to us that Peter would be susceptible to such a fall in his spiritual life. Peter, the spokesman for the apostles. How could Peter have fallen? How could Peter have denied his Lord? Not once, not twice, but three separate times. A man of such commitment, a man of such dedication. I want to point this out as well, that, you know, with Judas and Judas's betrayal of Jesus, that was purely intentional. That was premeditated. It was something that was intentional. It was something that was premeditated. It was something that was planned out to the detail. But Peter's denial of Jesus was something that was totally unintentional on his part. It was something that was anything but deliberate on his part. There would be no way he would go about this deliberately. He loved the Lord too much to do that. No, with Peter, we have to understand that this all kind of snuck up on him. And bam, out of nowhere, it blows up. And the same thing can happen in our lives. Spiritual failure doesn't happen all at once. It sneaks up on us in incremental ways. It is a slow leak. So we're going to trace the slow leak in Peter's life this morning. And again, draw some applications. We've all known people. People in the faith who we have admired. People who were just beamed, it seemed, with godliness and Christ-likeness and spiritual accomplishments. And you looked at their lives and it seemed as though they were just cruising along the highway at 75 miles an hour when bam, there's a blowout. And we think to ourselves, wow, that's scary. That came out of nowhere. I hope it never happens to me. But again, there's really no such thing as a spiritual blowout, but there is such a thing as a slow leak. And the slow leak in Peter's life began with self-confidence. Let's look at the passage together. John chapter 18, beginning in verse 12. So the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. First they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest, but Peter stood outside at the door, so the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant girl who kept watch at the door and brought Peter in. The servant girl at the door said to Peter, "You also are one of this man's disciples, aren't you?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. Look ahead to verse 25. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself, so they said to him, You also are not one of the disciples, are you?" He denied. Servants of the high priest, a relative of that man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter again denied it, and at once the rooster crowed. We look at this story, and the first step in this slow leak was that Peter was self-confident. Peter was too self-reliant. You know, as Christians, we talk about boasting in the flesh, putting confidence in the flesh. That's what Peter was doing, boasting in his flesh, putting confidence in the flesh. And of course, Peter, looking back on his life, you might say, well, he had every reason to be confident. After all, this is Peter. His name means rock. This is Peter the Rock. You know, not Dwayne the Rock Johnson of movie fame, but Peter, the apostle. Peter, who when Jesus first met him, his name was Simon, but Jesus changed his name to Peter, rock, stone. Rocks and stones are known for their strength, for their hardness, for their durability. And we look at Peter's life up to this point, and Peter was kind of like the Gibraltar among the apostles. I mean, he was the spokesman. He was the leader. He was the one who, when the other apostles were cowering in the boat, thinking Jesus was a ghost, Peter stepped out of the boat in faith, and he walked on the water. Peter was the one in John chapter 6 who we read that tragic story where it says that at that point, many of Jesus' disciples said, "This is a hard truth teaching. Who can accept it?" And it says many of his disciples departed from him and followed him no more. And it was Peter, again, who as a spokesman for the other 12 apostles, it was Peter at that point who said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." It was Peter who assured Jesus that they would remain loyal, they would remain faithful, though others would depart. It was Peter. Even on this occasion, it was Peter. All the other apostles fled the scene. Except we're told there was Peter and there was one unnamed apostle who followed Jesus. They may have followed at a distance in the darkness, but they at least followed him. And they followed him all the way into the courtyard of the high priest while Jesus was being placed on trial. So this was Peter. This was his pattern. And we'd look at Peter and we'd say, of all people, we would never expect Peter. Certainly Peter would not deny his Lord. Sometimes we look at our own lives, don't we? And we look at ourselves and we say, I would never do that. I would never fall into that trap. Well, be careful. Because when you say that, you're following the same path that Peter followed. You're putting confidence in your flesh. And you don't know your own weakness. And you're not being reliant upon Jesus Christ for strength. Now, in Mark chapter 14, again, a parallel passage. I'm not going to read that passage, but you can flip back and forth if you'd like to. But in verse 31 of chapter 14, it says, but he, Peter, speaking to Jesus, said emphatically, if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said the same. See, Jesus had just predicted they would all forsake him. What was Peter? Emphatically, if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said the same. Now that word that's translated there, emphatically or vehemently, is a word that in the Greek pretty much means how it's translated. Maybe a better translation would be excessively. Peter was basically boasting here excessively. He was going well over the top in terms of his self-confidence that he was expressing. In fact, the Phillips translation says it like this, that Peter protested what Jesus was saying. He protested it, says, he protested it violently. So here, Peter is being excessively boastful. He's being over the top in his boasting. We also look at this passage, and in verse 29, it says this, Peter said to him, even though they all fall away, I will not. Now, it's very insightful, the Greek text on this point. Because in the Greek text, the I here is emphatic. So Peter's over the top. And Peter, basically, if you wanted to get the emphasis here, Peter says, even though they all fall away, again, putting the stage light on himself, he says, even though they all may fall away, I myself. As for me, I myself will not. Then in verse 31, again, it's a double negative. So in verse 31, you might translate it, I will not know. I will not know. I will never deny you. And again, the rest all chimed in and said the same. So that's Peter. You get the picture? He's saying, you know, Lord, as for me, myself, I will not ever forsake you. And that was Peter. One author has said, when Peter enters a narrative, he always enters the narrative with a thud. He says Peter has a way of opening his mouth and putting both feet in and wondering why he can't walk. He had a habit of revving up his mouth while his brain remained in neutral. Now, we like to laugh at Peter. But let's face it, we've all got those human traits, don't we? So as soon as you start criticizing Peter, be careful. You're going down that same slow leak path that Peter took yourself. Peter, in effect, is saying, Lord, you know, he's not coming around and saying names, but he's thinking it. He's saying, Lord, you know, Thomas, his faith vacillates between belief and unbelief. You know, he's a classic doubter. Don't expect too much from him. You know, John, he's just so young. He's just so young and so callow that his faith could be easily shaken given the right circumstances. Don't expect too much from him. And well, you know, Matthew, remember, he had been a tax collector and, you know, he's got his mind on material things. So don't expect too much out of Matthew. But, Lord, though everyone else deserts you, I will not, no, not ever. I got this, Lord. You can go back to what you were saying to the other apostles, but leave me out. The others may need what you have to say, but I got this, Lord. I'm good. And so Peter's first step in a slow, slow leak was overconfidence. And the amazing thing is, after all of his boasting, we come just a short time later, there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and who do we find? Sound asleep. Peter. Jesus took the apostles to Gethsemane, and especially sorting out Peter, James, and John. And he says, verse 37 of Mark, my soul is deeply distressed and troubled. You stay here and keep watch. Keep watch and pray. He went a little farther and he fell on his knees. And verse 37 says that when he returned to his disciples, he found them sleeping. Now, there were three who were there at that moment. And he addresses by name Peter. And he says, Simon, notice what name he uses now. He's not using Peter the Rock. He's using the name Simon. I think there's a significance there. And he says, Simon, are you asleep? Now again, here's something, a nuance in the Greek text. In the Greek text, the name Simon is placed in the emphatic position. So it's like Jesus addresses Peter, and it's like, Peter? 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 Asleep? Maybe he's thinking, Peter, after all of your boasting, after all of your grandstanding, and there's Peter. He's out like a light. And Peter, the one who said, though all forsake you, I will not, he says, could you not keep watch, you know, and pray for just 1 hour? Now we look at Peter, and Peter's problem is not one of insincerity. I think that Peter was just as sincere in what he said as any one of us would be sincere in saying the same thing. Peter meant exactly what he said, and he meant it exactly the way he expressed it. He was never more sincere than he was on this occasion. We see in this passage that he was so sincere that he was even willing to take up the sword and challenge an entire Roman cohort.
So Peter's problem was not a problem of insincerity, and that too is a scary part in his failure. He was thoroughly sincere, just as any one of us would be thoroughly sincere. Peter's problem was not insincerity. Peter's problem was self-confidence, self-reliance. And that's also your problem, and that's my problem as well. Because whenever you say, Lord, you can count on me, Lord, I'm good, Lord, I got this, then you're about to step on a spiritual banana peel. You're just setting yourself up for a fall. Peter trusted in himself. And what happens when you trust in yourself and you've got all this self-reliance going on and you're thinking, I'm good, God, I've got this, Lord. What's the first thing you fail to do? Well, you fail to pray. And that was the second step in his slow leak. He failed to pray. He trusted in himself. We have that hymn, stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. And there's some lyrics in that hymn that came to my mind as I was preparing the message. And it goes like this: put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Be never wanting. Be never lacking in the matter of prayer. Put on the gospel armor. Put each piece on with prayer. And that is exactly what Peter failed to do. To put on the gospel armor, put on each piece with prayer. Had he done that, he would have been thoroughly armed spiritually, and he would have stood the test, but he did not. He set himself up to fall. So again, the second mistake Peter made was he prayed too little. With all of the confidence in himself, he prayed too little. He boasted too much, but he prayed too little. There is a famous American explorer who traversed in a sailboat the entire globe, a 34-foot sailboat, and he traversed the entire globe in that sailboat two times in the course of his life. His name was Harry Pidgeon. And in an interview that he was engaged in, he posed a question. He posed a question to the interviewer. And the question that Harry Pidgeon asked was this. He says, do you know the most dangerous thing a man sailing alone has to face? He says, it wasn't the storm I was afraid of, but the clear, calm weather when a good breeze was blowing. In a gale, when a man goes on deck, he holds fast to something, for he knows he might fall overboard. But in fair weather, he's apt to walk around the deck without thinking. There's a little roll of the boat, and that little roll of the boat can throw him overboard, and he is lost. Well, I would say that that can also happen to us. When the storms are raging in our lives, the storms of circumstances, we hold on fast to prayer. But when everything is going very smoothly and the weather in our lives is fair and circumstances are calm, then
we forget to hold on. We walk through our lives self-confidently, without really thinking so much about spiritual issues. And in that situation, it doesn't take much of a roll to throw us overboard spiritually. Peter, in this particular situation, in the course of his fall, remember, again, it was a slow leak. First he became confident. Then, second step in the sad decline was he let go of prayer. He boasted too much, and he prayed too little. Ironic, isn't it, as you read this story, that the Lord did not fail to pray. Peter failed to pray. Boy, that's a strange kind of reversal, isn't it? I mean, from my perspective, I'm looking at this, and in my opinion, if I were to pick out someone who did not need to pray, I would pick out Jesus. And if I were to pick out someone who did need to pray, well, I would pick out Peter. Yet Peter is sleeping in the garden, while Jesus, the Son of God, our Savior, is on his face in the garden, praying, pouring his heart out to the Father in prayer, to the point of sweating drops of blood. And again, it wasn't as though Peter had not been warned. You read the accounts and you find that Jesus returned from his own prayers two separate times. And he says, "What? Peter, you're asleep? You couldn't watch and you couldn't pray for just 1 hour?" And the parallel to us is that just as Jesus warned Peter multiple times, when it comes to the matter of prayer, Scripture warns us and admonishes us multiple times to pray. Jesus himself said, "Men ought always to pray and not to faint." The Apostle Paul says that we are to pray without ceasing. And James, the author of the book that bears his name, also says, "You have not, because you ask not." And that's just three examples of so many throughout Scripture. So it's not as though we haven't been warned. It's not as though we haven't been admonished repeatedly throughout Scriptures to pray. And the importance of prayer is so strongly conveyed to us as believers. And yet it's probably the one point in our spiritual lives where we get shot down in flames the most. And I'd say, is there an amen to that? But no one wants to put an amen on that one. So his failure wasn't because he had not been warned. He had been warned. Our failure in prayer is not an accident. Our failure in prayer is by design. It's not by your design. It's not by God's design, obviously. It's by Satan's design. Because Satan knows, in this whole matter of spiritual warfare, Satan knows that if he can defeat you in the matter of prayer, he can pretty much defeat you anywhere. Peter had met his Waterloo. Satan doesn't mind if you witness for Jesus Christ just so long as you don't pray. He understands that it's more important first to talk to God about men than to talk to men about God. Satan is not concerned, doesn't mind if you study your Bible, just so long as you don't pray. Satan is not concerned if you compulsively, neurotically serve within your local church, just so long as you do not pray. Samuel Chadwick from an earlier century was a well-known Wesleyan Methodist preacher, pastor in England. And he was known for a lot of good quotes and a lot of things he wrote and authored. But he said, the one concern of the devil is to keep people from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, and prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, he mocks at our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray. Now, I had a seminary professor named Howard Hendricks, and he was pretty iconic. And a lot of individuals took a Christian education major just so they could get as many classes with Howard Hendricks as they possibly could. One time when I went to David Jeremiah's church, I asked him, I was thinking about seminary then, and I was signed up for Dallas, which is where he went. And I asked him what major he signed up for. And I was expecting him to give me something like Old Testament language, Hebrew, or New Testament literature and exegesis, or systematic theology, or at least pastoral ministries major. But he said Christian education. Well, you know, Christian education major was kind of in my mind like, okay, bottom of the totem pole, you know. But then he told me, and the reason was as many classes with Howard Hendricks as he could possibly get. And I've since talked to other men. It was the same with them. Well, that's all backstory to this quote. But Howard Hendricks, he said this, I've discovered over the years that the one thing you cannot do is popularize prayer. I can announce that I'm going to give a prophetic series and people come out from under the rocks. He says, I can announce to a group of Christian people that we're going to talk on marriage and the family, and I get a pretty substantial crowd. But announce, we're going to have a prayer meeting, and it looks like Hiroshima or Nagasaki. You can't promote it. No PR program will ever bring people out to a prayer meeting, because prayer is the recognition that your need is not partial, your need is total. Peter failed in the area of prayer. If you're failing in the area of prayer, I can guarantee you right now you're not living a victorious Christian life. The third thing that Peter had in his slow progression was there was overconfidence, there was too little prayer, and then there was the denial. Slow leak, and then the tire bursts. Denial. And as we look at the passage, the line of questioning that led to his denial in the Gospel of John, the first two questions that are asked of him when he's there in the courtyard of the high priest anticipate, they're phrased in a way where in the Greek, the first two times he's asked the question, aren't you one of his apostles, disciples, the first two times he's asked, it's phrased in a way that expects a negative response. In other words, it'd be kind of like me saying, you're not one of his apostles, are you? Well, when I phrase it that way, what kind of response is my inflection indicating that I'm expecting? I'm expecting a negative response. And the first two times, it's phrased that way, where the response that is expected from Peter is a negative one. Do you see how easy that might have made it for Peter? I mean, at that point, okay. You know, if that's the way she wants it, why rock the boat? I can just kind of go with that for now. I can just kind of go with the flow. Well enough alone and not trouble the waters too much. And let's be honest about it. We've all been there. We've all done that. We've been guilty when put on the spot of evasive answers like Peter's, just going with the flow of things. Take the made-up example of a student. It's Monday morning, and he's sitting in study hall, and he's with some other students, and he's sharing a story that he thinks is a funny story he wants to share, and it's a funny story he's telling them, that he says, you know, let me tell you this story that happened in church yesterday. And so one of the individuals, kids who is sitting there, pipes up before he can even say another word, church? You go to church? And feeling a flush of embarrassment and anticipating being ridiculed by his peers, he takes the cue. He goes with the flow, and he kind of shrugs it all off and says, oh, you know, my parents going to church just keeps them happy. You know, that's a whole lot like saying, I do not know this fellow that you are talking about, isn't it? So in that kind of way, we've all been where Peter's at, and we've denied our Lord. And so as this questioning of Peter continues, it proceeds from suspicion to what might be called reasonable certainty. And the third time the question is asked of him, it's by a relative of the servant of the high priest whose ear Peter had cut off. And he was in the garden, and he's pretty certain of his facts. And he phrases his question in a way that expects a positive answer. I saw you in the garden with Jesus, didn't I? Well, at this point, several other people chime in with the same question. Chorus of people join in, pressing Peter for an answer, and with mounting pressure, he resorts to the language of the streets to mask his identity. And with cursing and swearing, he says, I do not know this fellow you are talking about. Who said that? Who said that? The same man who said, you can count on me. The man who said, my devotion to you is so great, I'm willing to die for you. And again, if you're sitting there and you're listening to all of this and you're saying, well, I know that would never happen to me, then you're already on the same road that Peter was on. Not one of us can look at Peter with a judging eye. Though none of us were at that scene, though none of us were at that place, we've all been at various places in our lives where we have not, as the song says, stood up for Jesus. We've been anything but a soldier of the cross. We've been like Peter. We've been evasive. We've been like Peter. We've backed away. We don't want to trouble the waters. We don't want to bring unnecessary attention to our faith and be put down. You know, because we're afraid of what people might say, how people might respond. So we keep our mouths shut. And many more of us betray Jesus with our silence, don't we? Or many more of us deny Jesus, I should say, with our silence than we do with our actual words. Of course, the most exciting thing, we don't have time to spend on it this morning, but the most exciting thing about Peter's story is that his failure was not permanent. His failure was not permanent. You know, he had three denials. And in John chapter 21, post-resurrection, Jesus meets them in Galilee at the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and they've been fishing, and he has another charcoal fire. Second time in Scripture that word for charcoal fire is used. Once, first time, the night of Jesus' betrayal, the night of his denial. The second time, it was at the shores of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus has a meal, a breakfast of fish cooking for the apostles. And there on that occasion, before that charcoal fire, Jesus gives Peter, just as Peter denied him three times, he gives Peter three opportunities to reaffirm his love. And ultimately, we know that at that point, Peter was restored. And Peter went on from that failure to become a powerful, powerful spokesman for Jesus Christ, whose life was vitally important, and thousands coming to embrace him as their Savior post-resurrection. Peter, who had denied the Lord, reliable church tradition says that having been arrested, having been condemned to death for his faith under Roman government, he was to be crucified. But feeling unworthy to be crucified in the same way as his Savior, he requested that he be crucified upside down. What a difference. You know, no matter where we've been in our lives, no matter what, we're glad that our God is a God of the second chance. And wherever you are today, God offers you a second chance. So here's the summary. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, don't boast too much. And don't pray too little. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you again for your faithfulness. We thank you for stories like this, where we can learn from the experiences of those who have gone before. And help us, Lord, to take a warning from the life of Peter, to reassess our lives. Lord, where there are areas that we have fallen short, where we by our silence have denied our Savior, grant that we would repent. And grant that we would seek, Father, to regroup, to hold fast to prayer, so that, Father, we might endure, so that, Father, we might go forward in faith to live lives that would strongly promote the name of Jesus. We ask it in his name. Amen.
Amen. I think it's very appropriate we sing those last couple, that last stanza. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ. Let's all stand and let's sing this morning. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast.
boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know. Paid my ransom. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. But dear.